Hello everyone, my name is Rebecca Baldwin-Kordick, and the title of my presentation today is Conventional versus Low External Input Cropping Systems, Soil Biology and Nutrient Cycling. I come from today to you guys from the Iowa State University Department of Agronomy, and if any of you have ever been to Iowa, you know that you'll be hard-pressed not to see a scene just like this. We're a heavily agricultural state, and about 91% of our total land area is in farmland. Last year, we led in corn production at 2.7 billion bushels of corn and 572 million bushels of soybeans. So while corn and soybeans are at an all-time high in Iowa right now, from this figure of a typical watershed in Iowa, you can see that there has been a decrease in the amount of land that's allocated to alfalfa, hay, and other small grain crops. And that's been declining over the past several decades. And so essentially we're producing less forage to produce about half as many livestock as we did in the mid-1970s. So, and this decoupling of livestock systems and crop production has had some severe consequences for the Midwestern environmental context here that we're talking about. So we have some soil erosion going on, we have herbicide-resistant weeds, we have new crop diseases, reductions in wildlife populations, including native pollinators, and last but not least, water quality degradation via nutrient runoff and herbicide runoff. So the experiment that I'm going to be talking about today is called the Marston Farm Experiment. It was established in 2001 by Iowa State University, and it's located in Boone, Iowa. It's a randomized, replicated, complete block design, and I'm using it to compare conventional versus low external input systems. And so essentially the goal of this experiment was to see if you could reduce the mineral fertilizer application while maintaining the profitability and yield of the system, and that's applied to a simple corn and soybean cropping system. And so they were seeing if they could do that by adding an integrated livestock component to that via adding forage crops, so crop diversity to that system, and then also putting manure back into that system. So the different management practices applied here. There's a two-year conventional corn and soybean system. It receives no manure. It receives synthetic nitrogen fertilizer at planting and a side dress. This year, it received about 18 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare of side dressing. It receives a broadcast herbicide application in both corn and soybean phases and chisel plow after corn. Then we have the four-year system of corn, soybean, oat alfalfa, and alfalfa. And that receives 16 megagrams of manure per hectare before the corn. And then for synthetic nitrogen fertilizer, it receives no fertilizer at planting, but it does receive a side dress based on soil tests done the previous fall. This year it received 13 kilograms nitrogen per hectare side dress. Then herbicide application is only banded. And then tillage is the same as in the other system, chisel plow after corn, but it receives a moldboard plow after the alfalfa to prepare for corn the following year. So there's been a lot of research done on these plots prior, and it's found that they have successfully reduced synthetic nitrogen fertilizer application by 91%. They've reduced nutrient leaching under the root zone by 48%. They've reduced herbicide application by 97%. There's increased weed suppression. There's increased disease reduction. And all of these great benefits while still maintaining or boosting the yield over the conventional system. But today, we're only talking about nutrients mostly and biology. So we're going to be focusing on this reduction in inputs of synthetic nitrogen fertilizer, the reduction in losses of leaching underneath the rooting zone, and then again, this this increase in yields, which is translating to an increase in nutrient use efficiency here. So you can just see here's the yield boost from 2006 to 2016. This is a 5% boost in yields in the LEI system versus the conventional system of 5% and 19% in soybean. And that that's not trivial because it equates to about 22 bushels per acre, both in corn and soybean for a farmer. So that's a pretty big deal. And so again, we see this increase in nutrient use efficiency, which we think is on account of the fact that the soil is more able to, it has a higher capacity to increase this yield, and so it's functioning on a higher level. And so we posit then that perhaps this is due to the microbial biomass that's there, and so increases in microbial biomass are to blame, then that biomass can hold on to nutrients more. It can take up nutrients because it's larger, more nutrients, and then it can hold on to them and prevent them from leaching into the groundwater. So our hypothesis is that if microbial biomass is larger in the LEI rhizosphere, then there will be greater N immobilization, holding on to those nutrients, preventing them from leaching, and then as that microbial biomass, that large microbial biomass turns over, it will release nutrients to the plants as needed. So what we expect then is for, the activity in the rhizosphere to be much higher than it will be in the interrow. So we expect microbial biomass carbon and microbial biomass nitrogen to be higher there, that activity, microbial activity. But then we'll also expect that, as a result, we'll also see a higher rate of or presence of dissolved organic carbon and dissolved inorganic nitrogen. And then we expect that to reduce as you go closer to the interrow and move away from the rhizosphere. But due to these efficiencies we're seeing, we expect the magnitude of this effect to be larger in the LEI system than in the conventional system. So then we also expect that gravimetric water content will not really change as it goes from the rhizosphere to the interrow, but we do expect that the LEI system will have a larger capacity to hold water. Based on field experience, when you're out there, you can actually feel textural differences on a dry day. It's harder to sample. It's harder to put your soil probe down into the ground on these conventional systems. So how did we do this? We sampled at three different root proximities, and we performed a KCl extraction to extract ammonium and nitrate. And we also found microbial biomass carbon and microbial biomass nitrogen using a chloroform fumigation technique. And we did this for both the conventional and the LEI systems, all in the corn phase. So we sampled in the interrow, 0 to 15 centimeters. We sampled near the rhizosphere, so we collected all the soil that was close to the rhizosphere, but not quite all the way attached to the root. So this was our third proximity that we used, and we just took that soil directly off of the root that was stuck there. And we did this for early, mid, and late season, but we're only going to be talking about the early season for this analysis. So we'll move on to results, and we did in fact see that there was a treatment difference for gravimetric water content in these systems. The LEI system had a 23% boost in gravimetric water content over the conventional system, which means that it may have been able to hold on to water throughout this dry summer that we've had. So it'll be interesting to see the yield results. Then we also found that dissolved organic carbon was 180% higher than it was in the conventional system, and this might be because at this time, when we sampled in springtime, there was still alfalfa present from that moldboard plow. It had been plowed in the fall, froze over the winter, and you saw it and it was still green under there and decomposing. And then of course also the manure application. But it's worth noting too that there's been previous studies performed by people in this room that the soil organic carbon is not different between these two systems. And so these dissolved organic carbon, or these sort more readily available fractions of carbon, might be to account for increased productivity. But these soils themselves are very high in organic matter anyways, so we think that they might be saturated in carbon. So here's a graph of dissolved organic nitrogen and dissolved inorganic nitrogen, and the sum of that is total dissolved nitrogen. And we have this for both the conventional and the LEI system in the interrow, near rhizosphere, and rhizosphere, so different distances away from the root. And what we found was that the total dissolved nitrogen was highest far away from the root, and likely this is due to the fact that we sampled about a week after they had done an interrow fertilization, so this was probably on account of the fact that that's why the DIN is so high, the dissolved inorganic nitrogen is so high. Then we also found that the LEIs increased dissolved organic nitrogen, and you can kind of see here there's really not much of a difference in magnitude between what's happening here at the rhizosphere than what's happening here at the interrow. So it's really a lot more evenly distributed across the soil there. Then we also found that the conventional dissolved inorganic nitrogen was higher in the rhizosphere. We had this interaction term. So the quantity here, or the magnitude of the conventional dissolved inorganic nitrogen at the rhizosphere was higher than it was in the LEI system. So that was sort of suggestive of our previous observation that the conventional system is less efficient at taking up those nutrients, the dissolved inorganic nitrogen, as the other systems. Then we have a graph of microbial biomass carbon, microbial biomass nitrogen, and microbial biomass carbon to microbial biomass nitrogen ratio at these different proximities, again, interrow, near rhizosphere, and rhizosphere. And from this we found that microbial biomass was higher in the rhizosphere in both cropping system, which is not entirely unexpected with higher activity happening at the rhizosphere. But we did find that the LEI system increased microbial biomass carbon and microbial biomass nitrogen overall. And it's worth pointing out again the same sort of effect as we saw with dissolved the nitrogen, dissolved nitrogen fractions, that the difference between the rhizosphere and interrow soils is a lot less for microbial biomass nitrogen and carbon than it is for the microbial biomass nitrogen and carbon for the conventional systems. So it's just a lot more evenly distributed throughout the soil, suggesting that the soil is more healthy in all places throughout the soil. Then it's also worth pointing out that microbial biomass carbon to microbial biomass nitrogen ratio was higher in the conventional system, and which is when you think about it, this system is not starved for nitrogen at this point in time, and so there's more evidence there that there's inefficiencies in taking up that nitrogen, because maybe it's actually carbon starved. In that case. So to conclude, we found that LEI systems increase factors of soil health throughout the profile at all distances away from the root, and more evenly distributed that soil health. So we found, again, that gravimetric water content was higher, which might have enhanced moisture availability in the soil. Dissolved organic carbon was higher. Dissolved organic nitrogen was higher. At all distances away from the root, which are readily available nutrient sources, we found that that microbial activity was higher at all distances away from the root, which means there's higher activity throughout the soil. And again, microbial biomass carbon to microbial biomass nitrogen ratio was lower in the LEI system. Dissolved inorganic nitrogen was lower close to the root, Again, this was probably due to the fact that we had just experienced a fertilization. And so with that, we'll talk about next steps. I have two other dates to analyze in my data, so it'll be interesting to see how these aspects of soil health change throughout the season. Then we also have, last spring we buried resin lysimeters underneath the intero and also under the root zone, and so we will be able to pair that data and that leaching at a better spatial resolution and compare that to this resolution that we got to close to the root and far away from the root. And then we have more biological measurements, including extracellular enzymes to perform on these soil samples, and also analyzing earthworm and soil fauna populations and how those are impacted. So thank you, everyone.